talking about getting stupid. You know how much Halloween candy I've eaten because Phoebe got it early? So now she got those stupid mini Starburst packs, which I have to open up 1,000 of because I hate the pink Starburst. So every single one's got one or two of them, and I discard it, and I go for the ones that have the red and the yellow. That's all I'm eating.
You hate the pink Starburst?
The pink Starburst is the best.
Yes.
Strawberry?
Yeah. Not a fan.
What do you eat, lemon?
Lemon, orange, cherry.
Lemon's the worst.
And it's time to bring a new flavor in the game.
It really is.
Anyways, can we evolve with the Starburst? Clearly, I can't get a full pack because it's Halloween, so I have to get the little travel size with two. I need more.
I'll bring you a full pack tomorrow.
Thank you.
I won't buy candy yet for that very reason. I know I'll dip into it. I know by the time Halloween rolls around, there'll be no more Take 5 bars.
I get home and I go, oh, yeah, look, there's Twix bars and there's Skittles and there's Starburst. I won't eat any of that. Then they're gone.
I know.
Then I hate myself.
I'm thinking about going all out this year and getting the neighborhood kids some Bar Nuns.
Huh?
You don't know what a Bar Nun is?
That's old school.
It is old school.
You're better off handing out mints and raisins. Nobody wants a Bar Nun.
Bar Nun was the greatest candy bar known to man.
They don't know what that is.
That's what the problem is with these kids today.
You know what you're doing? You're catering to the adults. When the kids get home, they throw their candy out and the parents start looking for razor blades. They'll go, oh, there might be something suspicious in that Bar Nun. I'll take that.
Oh, the Bar Nun was magical.
Yeah, but you're thinking about yourself, Garabo. You got to cater towards the kids. There's all sorts of new candies out there. Everything is sour now. Yeah, that's what you got to
do. Here's what you do. You go full-size Butterfinger shaped like the skulls they have right now.
I don't know about full-size anything. I'm not making full-size money.
I feel like you're making full-size money.
I might be making full-size money.
It's time you go full-size candy bar.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go whatchamacallits. Full-size whatchamacallits for every
kid.
Yeah. Whatchamacallit, it's a great candy bar.
Why don't you go get those little dots that you rip off the piece of paper?
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, you're one step away from that.
Like, get a candy people know today.
Like a Fifth Avenue.
A what?
A 100 grand bar.
100 grand? That's only old people eat those.
Dude, how about a Shock Tart?
Oh, yeah.
How about a Zagnut?
Huh?
Zagnut.
No, Warheads.
Payday.
I was just thinking Warheads.
Yeah, Warheads are good.
Those were the best.
Payday.
Sour Punch straws.
Goobers and Raisinettes.
Full-size Sour Punch straws. Go like...
No, chocolate.
Kids will love you forever.
No, chocolate.
Sour Punch straws, Sour Apple.
Chocolate.
Sour Apple.
No, the blue ones.
Bar None, Fifth Avenue, whatchamacallit.
You want to go old school? Go Lemonhead.
I'll go Zero Bar. Zero Bar.
That gross white chocolate thing?
That's right. Let's see, you've heard of it.
Why don't you just hand out the orange and black wrapped
get out of here.
Candy? We don't even know what that is.
Nonsense. Charleston Chew or die. That's it. Charleston Chew.
Next thing you know, you're going to be just throwing like
nougat.
Candy corns at them when they walk up.
No, that's abuse.
Candy corn, granola bars, floss. I mean, that's the road you're going down, Garabo.
No, I'm not going down the floss road.
Slippery slope.
Not going down there. I love a whatchamacallit. Who doesn't love a whatchamacallit?
You know, you overtip all over the city because people might know who you are, but when it comes to Halloween candy, you're taking stuff from the 1920s. Have you been down a Walgreens candy aisle recently?
I have not.
It's amazing.
I'll be sure to check it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Drew Garabo Live, go ahead.
I'm just saying, crybabies all day, man.
Who?
Crybabies are good.
What's a crybaby? What are you
talking about? Hell yeah.
What is this crybaby?
It was a sour gum, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing. You could, like, mix the orange and the yellow together, and it was like a freaking bomb in your mouth, man. It was awesome.
Oh, whatchamacallit. That's a bomb in your mouth right there. Thank you, though, man. Appreciate that.
I don't think I told you. When I was in Denver, I just stumbled upon this candy store by my hotel.
Weed candy store?
No, just regular candy where it's got all the old school, like, Big League Chew. It's got everything. And then when I threw my candy in the bag, she said, can I interest you in these candy bars we have? Marshawn Lynch has his own line of candy bars.
What is it, Beast Mode candy bars?
Yeah, it's Beast Mode candy bars, and I bought a s'mores one. It was really, like, $4, way too expensive, but I had to get a piece of that.
Beast Mode has a candy bar.
Yeah, I felt like it was only out there on the West Coast. I really should have tweeted a picture of it. It was very cool.
I'll go check out
oh, there they are right there. Look at Dennis is quick with that.
Yeah, he is. S'mores bars and milk.
Yeah.
I want a little bit of Marshawn in my mouth.
I had it.
Rocket Fizz is where you need to go. It's a soda pop and candy shop that's in Northdale, Mabry, in the Carrollwood.
Yeah.
You been there?
No.
Pretty cool.
I just saw one at Wiregrass Mall yesterday.
They got one there, too?
Yeah. It's new.
Oh, dude. I mean, they got all the old school, like, whatchamacallit.
Swedish Fish?
Oh, come on, Nikki. Like you were doing so well.
I know. I like them. I'm sorry.
There's nothing to them.
Gummy bears. Do they have, like, the good gummy bears?
I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Are they chocolate or nothing?
Gummy bears are great, especially the sour ones they have now.
Reese's? Like, can we at least agree that Reese's are delicious?
Reese's is fine.
Because they've got the Reese's cups with the Reese's pieces in them now. That's evolution.
Full-size Reese's pieces cups.
Pieces.
And pieces.
Reese's pieces.
Your candy doesn't evolve. It just goes to these specialty stores.
Yeah. Getting you ready for Sunday's season premiere of The Walking Dead, 9 p.m.
Probably going to break records as usual.
It always does. You wouldn't think on paper that a show about the apocalypse and zombies would be as far-reaching and amazingly, immensely popular as it is, but millions and millions of people love this show. Millions and millions of people love the character Michonne. She is played by Danai Gurira. And I hope I pronounced that right. Did I get that right, Danai?
Danai.
Of course, Danai. I'm terribly sorry, my dear, and welcome to our program.
That's all right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks a lot for making time. I'm sure you're in demand right now with the season. What season are we on of this show? I have to be honest with you, Danai. Around season three or so, I found myself regretting that I sat through an hour-long episode only to receive yet another cliffhanger and more questions than answers. So I personally apologize. I know you don't need me to watch that show because you have millions of people who do, but I lost it in season three. So I may revisit depending on how great this this interview goes, which I'm sure will be great.
Hilarious. No pressure.
No pressure at all. But what season are we on, and where did we leave off last season for those uninitiated out there?
We are on we're going into season seven starting on starting on Sunday. Wow. We go into season seven, and we left off at it's another cliffhanger. If those are not in your you're not in love with those, there's another pretty heavy one that we left off with in season six, which is when the big bad villain of the comic books, Negan, gets introduced. And you know, we've messed with him a little bit. He's messed with us, but he's trying to show us his boss, and he really has us pretty caught. He has us all on our knees, and he's got a big baseball bat and saying one of us isn't going to walk out of there. That's how the season ended.
Goodness, Grail, I hope it's not you. I like you a lot, and I like your character. Now, you are out there. You're doing important work. Not that acting isn't important work, but you're doing very socially important work right now, letting people know that they can still register to vote. Here in Florida, they extended the deadline a little bit. Tell people why voting is so important to you and why they should get their butts out there and register and then vote.
Yeah, it was extended to the 18th, and I'm here because, honestly, for me, I'm a child of immigrants. I was born in a tiny, tiny town in Grinnell, Iowa. My parents have been educators in this country for decades, and they love this country. They are not citizens, but to me, it's very important that I participate in the democratic process in the land of my birth. I'm an American. I'm a Zimbabwean by heritage, American by birth, and I really, to me, it's very important to help others get their voices heard. You know, I think it's something that was fought for all of us to be able to do it. So it's very important that, to me, that folks do it, you know, that we all get our voices out there. So when you hear about lots and lots of people not voting, to me, that just breaks my heart. So I was on a campus today. I was with a lot of students, and it was really, really cool. We were helping them learn about the voting process, those who weren't sure about if they were registered where and what to do, and we were signing them up right there, and it was an awesome experience. It feels good to help out.
That's fantastic. We're speaking to the beautiful and talented Danai Gurira. She plays Michonne on The Walking Dead.
How do you balance registering people to vote along with probably all the press you have to do for the premiere of The Walking Dead coming up this Sunday?
You make it work, man. You know, I mean, priorities. Just make it all work. But yeah, it's like, you know, when I can find that time, I definitely would like to give some time for this. So I'm very happy to be here.
Sure.
In the sunshine, this sunny, sunny state. Nice and hot still.
Well, this is cool for us, so you should consider yourself lucky. Like we're like, it's finally cooling down to the high 80s, whereas if you're from somewhere else, it's like, oh my God, is it oppressively hot down here? Being part of a franchise that that got its start in a comic book, you deal with a lot of hardcore fans, I'm sure. Whenever you're out, I'm sure people have something to say about you. Were you familiar at all with the comic and its legacy, or did you just show up and go, you know, this seems like a pretty good show to be a part of?
Well, I mean, when I got the audition, absolutely, I was looking into what it was all about. I'm a researcher. Hmm. I'm a child of academics, so I definitely delve in deep. When I learn about something, I say, okay, I got to know as much as I can. So I knew, I researched her quite a bit, and I understood that there were a lot of comic book fans out there who were keen to see her come to life. So I was deeply aware of what I was stepping into. Absolutely. And I knew that, you know, she was going to be what she was going to be. You know, I had to work, of course, with the creator, the people who wrote this TV show, and we had to create our rendition of her and allow her to live through me. Sure. In a way that was truthful to the aesthetic of the TV show and to, you know, a fully fleshed out character on screen. Gotcha. But I love what I read on the page. I mean, it was like, who is this woman? I've never seen anything like her. So that was pretty thrilling.
No doubt about it. We're speaking with Danai Gurira playing Michonne on The Walking Dead and registering people to vote in the state of Florida. SBK?
Yes, I'm still not over you hooking up with Rick. I can't really let that go. But
okay.
I wanted to know, you're playing Tupac's mother, Fannie Shakur, in the new Tupac movie. What's the holdup on that movie, and how did you get involved with it?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I do believe it's coming out pretty shortly. I got involved really. I'd been approached about it a couple times, but then finally, and I started to really love what I was learning about them. I grew up on Tupac. I grew up in Zimbabwe, but he was very, very well known there. And we were all deeply, deeply saddened when he passed. I was in high school. And so it was a pretty surreal experience to step into his life this intimately. But the director wanted to work with me and thought I would work really well for the role. And we talked a lot, and we created something very collaborative. And, you know, I loved her story and her voice and how original she was and her influence on her son. And, it was surreal to step into that. And I felt like the first day of shooting, I was like, oh, my God. You know, like, I can't believe I'm stepping into Tupac's life. Like, in this, I took it very, you know, I revered it as something that I took. It was a big responsibility. But it was great to be a part of it.
No doubt. We are speaking with Danai. She is Michonne on The Walking Dead. Now, you, as if you weren't already the heartthrob of nerds everywhere because of your role in The Walking Dead, you're also going to be in Marvel's Black Panther film playing the role of Okoye. Are you ready for your already substantial nerd following to explode now that you're going to be in a superhero movie?
I don't know. I guess so. Listen, I love nerds. I love nerds. I'm a nerd. I'm a straight up nerd myself. So, you know, I got no problem with that. But, you know, I'm still pinching myself about that one. It's really amazing to be a part of that. And, you know, I so admire Mr. Ryan Coogler and Chadwick Boseman. So I'm really pinching myself about that one. And to work again with Lupita, she was just in my play on Broadway, so it's just really exciting.
That
it's
is awesome.
Really exciting.
Let me ask you about your history a little bit, because you lived in the U.S. until you were 5, and then after Zimbabwe gained independence, you and your family moved back to Zimbabwe. What kind of a culture shock was that for you? I'm sure it was a beautiful experience from a spiritual perspective, but living in America until you're 5 and then moving to Zimbabwe, what was that like for you, Danai?
You know, it was a very difficult transition for me because I was so small. Mm. And, you know, Zimbabwe is, you know, in the early 80s especially, was a very, you know, very thriving country. And you know, I actually got along really great with what I found there. I was, you know, fantastic weather compared to Iowa. You know, there was no snow, none of that. It was very warm and fun. And I was like, you know, the thing is, we were colonized by the British. So English wasn't something... It was a language of instruction. It completely still is. So you can actually live in Zimbabwe and only speak English and be fine, be completely fine. So it wasn't like the culture shock on that level wasn't too severe because It wasn't like I had to learn an entirely new language immediately in order to survive there. And then, you know, I just, because I was so young, I started first grade there. I had a great time. I mean, my parents are academics, and so I was around a lot of other academic kids who had been abroad during Zimbabwe's colonization period and had come back. So it was like a lot of us were kids who were kind of oddities, who were born somewhere else, but now we're back in Zimbabwe. And so there was a great community, and you know, I was a little sporty kid. I got right into it with track and swimming and tennis and hockey, and I was busy and at it all the time, doing my little thing, you know. So it was actually a really, it wasn't that big a culture shock when I think about it. I just kind of, you know, as a kid, you adapt so fast. You really, really do. And Zimbabwe gets a lot of, as I was saying with Tupac, it gets a lot of American music and movies and all of it. You know, we get a lot of it there. So
great.
There's a lot of that going on still.
We've got Danai Gurira on the phone right now. She is Michonne in The Walking Dead. It comes back this Sunday at 9.
When you get the new script for Walking Dead, how carefully are you flipping through it, hoping that you don't die that season?
You're funny. We get that a lot. But listen, I mean, they take very good care of us in regards to how one finds that information out. So to find it out, like, on in the script as you receive it, you know, that wouldn't happen. That would be so cold, man. No, that doesn't happen.
Good. Because they can't do you dirty like that. That'd be the worst feeling in the world.
No.
All right. Well, before we let you go, Danai, I'm sure you're busy. Tell people out there how they register to vote, because you're out there doing important work. You are, of course, an actress, but you are also an activist. And tell people how they can register to vote and, once again, why it's so important to do so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, registering, you can do it right up until, you know, tomorrow. It was extended to the 18th of the month. And, you know, you can do it online. You can do it in your local area. And it's so easy. We're just doing it right now with students. Those students in universities, you can sign up really easy right there at your university. And, you know, we really, to me, it's so important. The young people I was just around, getting their voices out. First time I voted was in college. I remember exactly what it was. It was the Gore Bush race. Didn't go my way, but you know, I was definitely I was definitely out there, and it felt good to vote for the first time, you know. And so I really want to encourage you to do that, you know, as I always, and everybody, you know. I think the travesty would be if people don't get their voices heard. It's a very, very crucial year. And you know, being someone who grew up outside of the United States but was a part of it by birth, we watch the rest of the world watches us a lot. They see this great country of opportunity and of you know, a melting pot of cultures and of people who created this great, who do great things in this land, and they watch us. They watch what we do with this amazing power we have to put the most powerful person in the world in office.
Right.
And so to me, it's not just a responsibility to myself or to those who fought for my right to fight here in America, but it's also a responsibility to my global community. And so I just really want to encourage everybody, you know, we're very powerful as American citizens who we put in that office. It affects the entire globe. And so I just want to encourage everybody to make sure we exercise that right.
Good stuff. Well, much like Tupac said to his real life mother, you are appreciated. So thank you very much for your time, Danai. Continued success. I'm going to watch Sunday. Was it Sunday or Monday?
Sunday.
I'm going to watch Sunday at 9. Sunday at 9. I'm watching just to make sure that you survive the season premiere. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. You're a very nice lady, and this is exactly the kick in the butt that I needed to get back on the Walking Dead train. I'm going back to season 3, and I'm going to try to catch up by Sunday night at 9. So thank you so much for the time.
Awesome. But you're registered to vote, right? Even more, also important.
Oh,
you're
yes.
Right?
No, yeah, no, I'm registered. Okay, I'm voting. I might not be thrilled with the candidates who have been presented before us, but I am registered and I will be voting. And I appreciate your time so much, and keep using your voice as one of activism and truth, and keep pursuing your passions.
Oh, thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Back at you, Danai. Take care.